pictures. Okay. Where's my...
Are there any visitors this morning? I don't think so.
Miss Brown is second time here. She has her mother this morning. Janice? Please keep that going throughout and get it around the congregation. Session meets tonight. We meet at 4 o'clock here to go for supper. We'll be back here at 6 o'clock for the regular meeting. We are talking about church leaders, officers this morning, and we will be ordaining and installing installing these two plus one more to the office of elder that we elected back in early December. So the session, if there's a question, especially for the new people, we just assume that people know and they don't. We meet here at 4 o'clock. We go eat supper. We come back here at 6 o'clock for the session meeting. We kind of do this the first meeting of the year. For committees, we need you to serve here, and we need people to do the work of the church. And that's what it's for. Some of it's decision-making, thinking, but much of it is to be a team member to do the work. Thank you very much.
We will be having youth group tonight at 5, so come to youth. It's fun.
Speak up.
Can you hear me? Youth at 5. Is it not working?
Speak into it.
They say to really talk. Is that better?
Yeah.
Are there any prayer requests or praise reports?
Did not get that information. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, well, New Year's Eve, there was that car accident, and we prayed for it. Dylan, he comes here and goes to youth, and his little brother, John. John had surgery. They were afraid it was going to be multiple surgeries. Ends up, they had one surgery. They put a metal plate in his face, but he's home and he's doing a lot better. So that's positive.
Retirees meet Wednesday to go out to eat. We'll call you on that. Also, and Miss Kathleen is not doing well and probably don't need to be called about it, so we'll take care of that out of the office on Tuesday. Retirees go out to eat. Also, men's breakfast is this coming Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. Men's breakfast is coming Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. We will have guests with us this Saturday morning also.
Debbie's homesick, so prayers for her. Let's take this time to sit in silence and prayer and welcome Jesus into the service. With me and join in the call to worship. The call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 147. All creation proclaims the greatness and love of God.
God's love permeates even the deepest darkness.
The light of God shines on us with new hope.
We are called to be people of compassion and justice.
Open our hearts, O Lord, to see your light and live in your hope.
Prepare us for the service.
Turn me to page 82. It's a refrain from a very familiar Christmas song.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. We'll praise his name forever. We'll praise his name forever. We'll praise his name forever. Christ the Lord, we'll give him all the glory, we'll give him all the glory, we'll give him all the glory, Christ the Lord, for he alone is worthy, for he alone is
Let's bow together and pray. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy to receive honor and glory. and much more than we can offer to you. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Lord, we come this morning to try to express ourselves before you, acknowledging, admitting our inabilities. But Lord, you've asked us to come and you receive what we're able to give. And if we come to you, Lord, you promise not to turn us away. And we just thank you, Lord, that though you're the Creator and we are the creatures, the created, that you invite us into your presence. And Lord, we just pray that you would just speak to us and through us. Enable us to glorify and praise you. But enable us, Lord, to speak to one another through the various aspects of this experience concerning how great you are. We offer our prayer and ourselves in the name of Jesus. Now coming to pray as he taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated. Thank you.
At this point in the service, if you could join along with me with our statement of faith. The Apostles' Creed is found on the screen or in the hymnals in number 716. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.
Let us draw near to receive the living waters of Jesus' presence. If you join with me in the prayer of confession, it's in unison. O Lord, we sit before you as unclean people. Our motives are not always pure. Our desires are not always appropriate. Our lives are not always ordered. Our actions are not always constructive. Remind us that we are your people, that you have created us, called us by name, taken us by the hand, and blessed us as your beloved children. Through the presence of your Holy Spirit, free us from all that is past, and empower us for all that awaits us in the future. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. If that young girl saying amen isn't enough, hear these words of assurance. Let the healing stream of God's love wash over you. Let the indwelling waters of Jesus quench your thirst. Let the river of life, the renewing spirit, guide you in all truth. Amen.
Amen and amen.
Turn with me to page 201.
Sentence this morning comes from Proverbs 3, verse 6. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your produce. For the ushers, please come forward.
Let everything that breathes praise you. The earth, the sky, the sea, praise you. Just as nature shows to us your blessing, soon I find my heart confessing. My love is not my own, it all belongs to you, and after all you've done, the least that I can do is leave my life in every part only to please my Father's heart. Love is all you need to heal us, flowing from the heavens, Jesus. And with one voice we'll sing together, and this will be our song forever. My love is not my own, it all belongs to you, and after all you've done, the least that I can do is leave my life in every part only to please my Father's heart. Thank you.
darkness.
There is children's church.
Miss Jennifer's got children's church. I'm sorry.
Pieces of scripture for our scripture lesson this morning. The first comes from Acts chapter 2, verse 28. You have made known to me the paths of your life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. The second comes from Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. We've got a lot to do in the next few minutes. I'd like to convene the session. And I believe we have active elders present. If you will stand, David, this is David's last great act as a member of the session. He rotates off. Sherry, John will continue on the session. Sherry will rotate off the session. John, you'll stand. Did we lose one or two? Sally and Deborah, and Jerry is here. He is out counting people, has to go out and count, and Jerry Bowers. So we will convene the session according to the Constitution. I will confess, I've been doing this since 1967, and I realized this year that I was supposed to convene the session to install the elders. So all these, until now, I'm not sure how legal they were, but they have served well. One thing that Dr. Mara says in his book, Covenant of Grace, concerning the order, the confession, the rules to go by, they're to help us in service, not to hinder us. Or that's what he means, and sometimes rules can be a hindrance. You've all been in a meeting somewhere, I'm assuming, where if something was done, somebody jumped up and called a point of order. And I've done it myself a time or two, but sometimes it's necessary, and sometimes it's just to stop activity, and sometimes it hinders the ministry being done. Session is convened, and I want to ask Jerry, if he'll just offer a prayer for the convening of the session. Thank you. I trust that each of you have in hand a sheet of paper that it's actually one sheet printing on both sides. In the middle of one sheet it says elders. Do you have this in your hand? If you don't, Steve will help get you one in your hand. On the top of that same page, on the left hand, if it's open, it says judicatories. That may be a new word to some of you. Preachers like to use that when it kind of rolls out. On the other side, it has a V, Roman numeral V, 5 at the top, two elders, and then 4.2 at the other. The confession of faith. And one of the questions that we ask elders, ask church members, I believe, I need to go look that up, I guess, is number 2, does the confession of faith, or do you believe it does, and hopefully we've studied enough, contain the basic doctrines taught in the new, or in the Bible, in the Scripture. And so, we have a confession of faith, and I will say, if you don't have one, I'll get you one. If you have the burgundy one and would like a blue one, this was a 2007 edition. Got some constitutional changes that were not in the burgundy one. I'll provide that for you, or we will, the church will. And so if you have, if you want to know where all this comes from, it's right here. Hopefully, we believe that everything contains in here is based on or comes from the Holy Bible. Okay? Then we got some Robert's Rules of Order, but we think they are somewhat biblical. How to do things decently and in order. Okay? We read two passages of Scripture. I want to add one. I want to add Acts chapter 20, verse 28 to those that were read. Keep watch over yourselves. This is Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Keep watch over yourselves. And this was instructions to church leaders. And all the flock, congregation is referred to as a flock, of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Which he bought, Jesus bought with his own blood. So we belong to Jesus because he has bought us. God made us so we belong to him, but when we rebelled and ran away from him, he bought us back with the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. excuse me. I have a little problem. I'm eating candy. I confess it's candy. I thought I brought some cough drops with me, but it's more... Yeah, a glass of water would be fine. But it is candy, so that's a good thing. That'd be good, maybe. What else? Got lunch ready? Okay. Why church government? Why church government? Why don't we just do things? Thank you. Right. And sometimes that thing gets in the way. Okay? I mean, talking, but I usually talk over it. Why church government? Why church leaders? Or that was prompted, I guess, by the thought of why doesn't everyone just do as they please? Well, if that happened, what would you have? I think you'd have a mess. Sometimes the church is a little messy anyway, but generally we work through and it functions. Maybe not to full capacity, but it still functions, and we make it. Hopefully, we bring some glory to God. Hopefully, we fulfill His calling, or what He has commissioned us to do. We believe, well, somebody's got to be the leader of any group. Moses back in the Old Testament, he was leading the people from bondage of Egypt to the promised land, And they were bringing little bitty concerns to him to be decided. His father-in-law saw that it was wearing Moses out. And I'm sure that Moses felt quite important. Well, I have to be around for this and that and the other. Or maybe Moses had a better spirit than that. Maybe he was just feeling worn out. But even when you feel like, boy, I'm needed, they really need me, after a while, you get to the point of saying, I'm kind of tired. I'm worn out. Father-in-law could see this. He goes to him and says, Moses, appoint some people to make these decisions for you, or you don't have to have your finger on every little situation that comes up. And that has been happening with God's people since that time. How many years before Jesus was born? You go figure that one out. And it was probably speculation anyway if you figured it out. Mary Jo, this is a great cough drop I got. I'm not sure it's not paralyzing. I don't know what you meant for that. Yeah, I think it's numbing my... Hope it don't numb my tongue, okay. But some people would be pleased if it did, okay. Jesus Christ is head of the church. Anybody disagree with that? Jesus Christ as Lord of life. Anybody disagree with that? If you do, we don't have anything else to say to you except believe and receive Jesus as your Lord. Humble yourselves before Him. Okay? Jesus Christ as Lord and head of the church has entrusted the government of the church to officers who make decisions that will guide the life and the ministry of the covenant community. That's a statement from the Confession of Faith, in the confessional statement, number 5.32. Number 5.32. We are together because we have covenanted together. Most of us have agreed to the covenant. We've been asked questions, and we've agreed. Yes, 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 yes. We know Jesus as our Savior. We're trusting Him as our Savior. We believe the Bible to be God's Word. Yes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're going to study the peace, purity, and unity of the church, and we're going to give of our resources to support the church. So we have come together in covenant, and we are supposedly, and I believe we are here, a community of believers. To the New Testament church, we have these words from Acts chapter 20. Keep watch over yourselves. And this was to the officers of the church, to the leaders of the church, and to all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Now, we believe, as a session, it was our responsibility to nominate elders, to bring them, nominate candidates for elders, to bring them to you for your consideration. Add to those if you saw fit. We ask the presence of the Holy Spirit. We ask God to come and help us in that decision. We came up with a slate of candidates to bring to you. We believed that God was in that. And it's a process you go through to figure out who God, to the best of our understanding, would have to be the leaders of the church. We brought the nominees to you. We gave you opportunity as a congregation, 8 o'clock group also. And if you had felt that God was leading in a different way or for somebody else, nobody was nominated from the floor. So we believe that the Holy Spirit has directed us in electing these to be leaders, overseers, elders, if you will, the church. Now, And they formed together as what we would call a government. The purpose of the church government and the purpose, the reason for leaders, is to aid the church in performing its mission. The officers serve the church by making decisions that will help us in fulfilling our mission or our ministry in the world. We are called to be ministers. We are to minister to people. And that is not only the professional minister as the preacher, that is for the church. The purpose of the leaders, or the responsibility of the leaders to lead the congregation in ministry. People who constitute the church, we call them judicatories. I mentioned that word. I even had it printed there for us. Judicatories should always focus on serving the church so that the church can be better able to serve the world. Now, what kind of government does the church have? The Methodist church that we are very familiar with, because there's one about on every corner, is a Episcopal form of government. The Methodist church as we know it used to have in their name before the 60s Episcopal. We never heard it much in the South, but I think it was Methodist Church Episcopal South. But somewhere in, I think, 68, they became the United Methodist Church as they joined together with a United Evangelical United Brethren and changed their name or adjusted their name to match that. But the Episcopal form of government is that, from a Presbyterian point of view, we would say that the edicts, the everything comes from the top down. The Catholic Church, the Episcopal Church, the Methodist Church, as we know about it. Well, I know a lot of Methodists, and a lot of stuff comes up from the ground also. We claim, as Presbyterians, that stuff comes from the grassroots and goes up to God. Goes up to God. We make our requests known to God. And it's whether somebody makes pronouncements up here that we obey, or whether the ground roots or the grassroots people make decisions that go up. There's also a congregational form of government. So there's Episcopal form, there's a Presbyterian form, a representative form of government, and then there's a congregation, where every congregation is different and independent as they want to be. And that would be illustrated in the Baptist churches in our neighborhood and the churches of Christ that we're most familiar with. We have what we call a Presbyterian form of government, and we have a connectionalism. The local church is not all there is. We have membership in a presbytery. In our particular situation here, I think there are 38 churches in Columbia Presbytery in South Central Tennessee, or Southern Middle Tennessee, I think would be the proper way to say it here in Middle Tennessee. And we are a portion, we are one of 38 churches that make up a presbytery. Now, the Bible, why all these different kinds of government in the church? The Bible doesn't give a specific one that's got to be followed. But we believe that the strongest one is representative form of government. So our forefathers adopted this a number of years ago. The church out in the boondocks in Paul's day and Peter's day had some problems, had some disagreements. And they couldn't settle it among themselves. The disagreement was whether the Gentiles that came into the church had to become Jews before they could really become Christians. So they argued over this. So they sent a delegation back to Jerusalem, to, I guess we call it, the mother church. And the elders, the apostles there in Jerusalem, heard the proposal. And then Peter got up and spoke, spoke for the Gentiles being received into the church without being circumcised, without obeying all of the Jewish laws and regulations and the festivals, etc. So the church made a decision, and there was four things that they could not do. One of them was to eat blood, eat meat offered to idols. Another one was to not eat meat strangled, and to refrain from blood, drinking blood or consuming blood, and then from sexual, stay away from sexual immorality. So we believe that we are following the Bible in representative form of government, Presbyterian form of government, that we have connection with other churches around the area. They in turn join together with other presbyteries in form of synod, and then they in turn join together and form a general assembly. Though it's not specifically outlined in the Bible. Now, we have Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 14 appointing elders in every church. The elders, along with the minister, who is also called a teaching elder, are the basic unit of this representative form of government. Acts chapter 14 tells about Paul and Barnabas appointing elders in each church, and with prayer and with fasting committed them to the Lord, and these people had put their trust in the Lord. The session is responsible to lead the members in ministries which belongs to the church. The church is a service organization, if you will, partially. Two things that we serve the people. We serve the community. We honor and glorify God. Hopefully that's understood. That we worship Him, we praise Him, we honor Him. Then we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the church, since earliest times, has taken care of the people in need. So, to do ministry in the community. The greatest ministry is fulfilling the Great Commission, to go and share the gospel. The Great Commission, we find it, the most familiar place we find it is in Acts chapter 28, verse 18, 19, and 20. Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, was about to depart this earth. Before he left, he got the disciples together and said, "Go. Go everywhere. Start where you are, but then go everywhere." I've paraphrased it just a little bit. And make disciples. Make disciples of Jesus. So to make disciples of Jesus, you've got to tell about Jesus. Go by your life and go by your words and make disciples of Jesus. And then baptize them. Bring them into the covenant fellowship. Put God's mark upon them, if you will. And then set them apart as God's special people. And then equip them to go and make other disciples. And then secondly, we find that the church is called upon, challenged to, examples throughout the New Testament, to help those people in need. One statement that Dr. Morrow wrote in his book, The Covenant of Grace: being effective in ministry requires a good spiritual condition. Worship, That's our groundwork. We come together to worship. Study, and through study come to understand the principal teachings of the Bible. The Apostles' Creed. We use that in worship to remind us each week the principal teachings of the Bible. We are joined together, hopefully, in a unity of the Spirit. And then we hopefully, and I say hopefully because I'm not sure that the church has always done it. I'm not sure if this church has always done it. We have a determination to bear witness to the good news that Jesus is the Savior, and we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are in need of a Savior. And then we have this commitment to minister to people in need. So if we put these all together, hopefully that will add up to a good spiritual condition that we might be equipped to go out and minister in Jesus' name. Now, Paul wrote to Titus and spoke of his responsibilities in Crete. He says, the reason I left you in Crete was to straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. And then he goes on to tell the qualifications of an elder. So here are these. An elder must be blameless, a husband of but one wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to being charged to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since the overseer is entrusted to God's work, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. And then the passage from 1 Peter 5. I appeal to you fellow elders to witness for Christ's suffering as one who will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseer. Pastors and elders. Teaching elders, and we call them ruling elders. Responsible for exercising such pastoral care of the people to enable the people to fulfill the mission that God has called the church to. The officers, 5.33 from your confession of faith. They have the responsibility to serve the church, to examine and receive members into the communion of the church, to care for and to nurture the members of the church in the faith, to discipline with love and justice those who offend the gospel and the laws of the church. Would the session come forward? Steve, will you come forward? Steve has been ordained. Steve has been installed twice and served two terms on the session, even served 7 years, I believe, as session clerk. So he's been a worker. So Steve comes. We don't ordain again, but we will install him to this office. Now, Mike, will you come? Mike's been elected. We're going to set him apart for this special work. Larry, will you come? Larry Gardner? Mike? Also, we have other members of the congregation who are elders who have rotated off, as we say, they're on rotation at this time. So, would you come and stand with us and join with us. If you're an elder of this church,
yeah.
Son, I believe you were an elder in the church in Memphis, Presbyterian Fellowship, so come and join with us if you will. Y'all come on around. Larry, if y'all get right here.
Okay.
Brother Bennett's going to assist us here, being a neighboring pastor and a friend and one who has given great support and encouragement to this congregation. He's going to offer the prayer of ordination. Mike and Larry, may I ask you these questions? Do you believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be the inspired Word of God, the authority for faith and practice? Do you?
I do.
Do you sincerely receive and adopt the confession of faith of the Cumberland Presbyterian Church as containing the essential doctrines taught in the Holy Scriptures?
Yes.
Do you approve of and promise to uphold the government of the Cumberland Presbyterian Church?
Yes.
Do you promise to promote the peace, the unity, and the purity of the church?
Yes.
In participating as an elder in the judicatories of the church, and that could be presbytery, that could be synod, and that could be general assembly, do you promise to share in a responsible way in the decisions that are made, to abide by these decisions, and to promote the welfare of the church?
Yes.
You've been elected elder in this local church. Do you accept the office of elder in this church and promise faithfully to discharge all the duties thereof as God may enable you?
Yes,
congregation and other who have been elders or are elders now, you have heard the questions asked and you have heard their response. Do you, the members of this church, acknowledge and receive these elders, and do you promise to give them such encouragement, support, and respect as belong to this office? Steve, do you accept the office of elder in this church again and promise to faithfully discharge all the duties thereof as God may enable you? You heard that answer. Do you accept Steve as a re-elected officer, elder, acknowledge and receive him and promise to give him such encouragement and support and respect as belongs to this office?
Yeah.
Okay. Mike and Larry, will you kneel? Elders, will you join me here? Laying on of hands, an exercise that's been practiced through the generations. Paul laid hands on Timothy, and through the years, hands have been laid on, and people set apart for a special work. And we come this morning to place our hands on these, having had someone place their hands on us. Brother Alfred is going to lead us in prayer as these two are set apart for this work.
Our Father, we come with a heart full of glory, glory and honor and praise given to you. We give thee praise that through the ages you have called special people to give special ministry in your church. And so as we set these men and these people apart, your service, honor in heaven and in the courts of eternity, that which we do today. May your grace be strong in these people, and these upright, honorable people, and they serve you in the way that you would give them to go. In Jesus' name we make our prayer. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we offer offer you. I'll be the first one, but the other active elders will offer you the right hand of Christian fellowship to take part in this office with us this day. Alfred has a word for us.
Let me sum up something about what we're doing today. And I've watched this church for the last 23 years. In the old Bethel building, in the winter, this beautiful building. And I watched this church service in this field.
It was Kim and Morgan. Kim Hardison and Morgan Williams. It is. Steve, I need you back up. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm gonna make my declaration as is proper. The closing benediction will be the closing prayer of the session meeting. And we're gonna stand to sing a song. Now, the rest of you, this is not just for those who have been elected elders. They're to represent the congregation. So you come by and offer your support, affirmation, or whatever you need to offer to them after we pronounce the benediction. But I declare that you have been elected, ordained, and installed elders in this Deacons Cumberland Presbyterian Church, agreeable to the Word of God and according to the government of the Cumberland Presbyterian Church, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Let's sing the first and third verse of 293. Y'all just stand here. 293. Rise up, O Church of God. Let's stand together.